this morning to Romans chapter number 6. As we think of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we want to take some time and really talk about some of the practical applications of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, how would I explain this? Correlation between the death and the resurrection of Christ. Now, every Christian is concerned about the death of Jesus Christ because there on the cross, Jesus Christ died for all of man's sins. And certainly, Jesus had to take on human flesh so that he could be our substitute, that he could redeem us, buy us out of the marketplace of sin and make us and free us from the devil's bondage and from sin's curse in our life. But you know, the fact is, well, what about the resurrection? How does that play into this? I was thinking about it. You know, Christians are really, many times we focus on the death of Christ, and because of Christ's death on the cross, we know that our sin's penalty can be paid for, was paid for in full. But what about the resurrection? Well, I thought this would be one way to look at it. You know, Christians are interested in making sure they're on their way to heaven. But what do unsaved people, what are they concerned about when they look at Christians? You know what they're concerned about? They want to see how they live. Isn't that right? Unsaved people want to see a difference. They want to see a life. They want to see a change. They want to see that life being lived. And you know what? There's the difference. The death of Christ saves us from our sin, the penalty of sin. But you know what? The resurrection gives us a new life. Gives us a new life. And if you're here today and you're a born-again Christian, I want to be reminding you that we rejoice the fact that Christ was a propitiation for our sins. And those that look to Christ, he will return again the second time. And will be without sin. And will be with him forever. But you know, the world is looking for a real evidence that that's real. And they're looking to see if there's a life difference. And that's where the resurrection comes in. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Now, the first five chapters of Romans talk about the way of salvation. Now, beginning in chapter 6, we have the life of salvation in the life of a Christian. And you have to have salvation first before you can have the life of a Christian. In Romans chapter 6, we want to look at a few verses beginning with verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. In that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. That one time that Jesus died on Calvary's cross, he paid the penalty of sin. He was victorious over sin. He freed man from the power of sin. But when he rose again from the grave, he made that power available to everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to think about that today. The practicality of the resurrection in your life if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. The practicality of the resurrection. First of all, the practicality of the resurrection gives a believer a new life. The resurrection gives a believer a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, isn't that great? The eternal life is a gift, and it's through Jesus Christ. Now, you know, you don't get that eternal life when you die. Sorry to break your bubble. You know, people are always talking about, you know, they're joking, you know, if you get to heaven's gate, then you knock on St. Peter's gate, and he says, well, you know, why should I let you in? Well, no, that's really kind of not true. That's not how it goes. You don't get eternal life when you die. You get eternal life the moment you repent of your sin and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's when you get eternal life. And if you have eternal life, right now, you know it's just going to keep on going when you die. 1 John chapter 5. Here's a great verse in the Bible. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 and 12. It says, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Now, the children this morning sang that great song, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior. I know that He's risen. I know that He's alive. And the song goes on, and I know because He lives within my heart. Well, that's not just a trite saying. That's not just a trite saying. That is the reality of Bible salvation. The Bible says, he that has the Son has life. That's real. It's real. First, let's go to John 14. I like how this passage of scripture says that. John chapter 14. And this is talking about Jesus raising from the dead, and that he is going to send his Holy Spirit to dwell in the believer. John 14 and verse 17. Now the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you, talking to the disciples. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. What is this new life? Jesus Christ lives in the believer. You know, that's a little bit bigger than some people can comprehend. But let me put it this way. If the creator of the universe, the second person of the Trinity, the living Jesus Christ, if he would come to live within you, would you know it? Would there be a difference? Would it be a magnificent difference? Would it be a great difference? Yes. The answer is yes. Yes. It's not maybe. It's not a little bit of a difference. It's not an emotional feeling. It's a reality of Jesus Christ living within a person's soul. Man. You know, there's a big difference between, that's one of the big differences between hoping you're going to heaven and knowing you're going to heaven. Because when Jesus Christ comes to live within you, the resurrected Jesus Christ, oh, there's an unexplainable difference. It's real. Now, there's a second great truth about here, this. As we just read in Romans 6, it says, in that he died once, but that he liveth unto God. And the picture here in Romans 6 is very simple. It is not, Jesus died once, but he ever lives now. He continues to live. And that's what, that's the issue, is when you get new life in Jesus Christ, it is a continuous life. It's called eternal life. It never goes away. You know, when I accepted the Lord, my mom said, you know, Ron, you're always trying new things. This will just pass away. You know, just like everything else, it's just going to pass away. I said, Mom, it's not going to pass away. Well, almost 50 years later, hasn't passed away. Only gets better. It only gets better. In that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth forevermore. You know, I'd have to say that this Christianity that starts off with a whoosh and then fizzles down to less than a spark, that doesn't fit into my Bible. That doesn't fit into my Bible. Because Jesus lives forevermore. And he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He ever liveth. So this is a continuous life. It's not just once. It's just, you heard people say, you heard them say, oh, I got saved. And as though it took place at this point in their life, and that was past history, and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? No. That's exactly what he's saying the opposite of right here. He says he died once, but that he liveth, he ever liveth. The picture is salvation in Jesus Christ continues on and on and on. That new life is on and on and on because Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. And Jesus Christ is the one who lives in the heart of a person who's been born again. That's a great truth. But not only is it a continuous life, but it is a powerful life. It's a powerful life. In Romans chapter 1, it has this great truth here about the resurrection. And I want to read this verse. It says about Jesus, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we can't, I don't think we can fathom that. But maybe I can explain this. Okay? Just, this is facetious, but just go die. And go in that casket and raise yourself up. Go ahead. I dare you. Just do it. You can't do it. Impossible. So the heathen, they understood that. They understood that it's impossible. So they invented all this foolishness. Karma or whatever that stuff is, you burn the body and the smoke goes up in the air and then somehow goes up there and whoosh, comes down. Now you're a frog. No. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead by the power of God. And that's what Romans 6 is talking all about. It's talking about the power of God. And we're going to talk about that power for a minute. Here, Romans chapter 6, it says, verse 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Huh. What do you mean? Sin won't have dominion over you? You know what? That's why we got jails. Do you know that? Now, they don't really work too well, but that's why we have jails. We have jails because there's people who are ruled by sin. And they have to be incarcerated because they're dangerous to society. Just 2 weeks ago, a man got out of jail. He'd been in 30 years for murdering his neighbor. I think it took place in New Jersey. Just got out after 30 years in being jail. And 2 days later, he killed his mom. You know why? Because he was under the dominion of sin. Anytime anybody looked at him cross-eyed, he got mad. And he got so mad at his neighbor, he killed him. And I don't know what his mom said to him, but he got mad. And he killed her. And he went right to the police and he said, I did a terrible thing. But it was too late. He was a slave to sin. He couldn't control himself. He couldn't control his sin. He couldn't control his anger. You know, terrible thing. Be under the dominion of sin. I've told the story before. It fits. Mel Trotter lived in Chicago. He is a drunk. Mel Trotter's wife said to Mel, our baby is terribly sick. This is a number of years ago. Here's $5. You have to go get this prescription or our baby will die. Promise me you'll not go to the bar. Promise me you'll go right to the drugstore. Promise me you'll come right back. And Mel says, yeah, I promise. Of course, I promised. Mel Trotter took the $5. And on the way to the pharmacy was the bar. And you know the smell of the bar. It got him. He went in, got drunk. Early next morning, came home. His mother, his wife, in tears, obviously. Mel, where were you? Where? What happened? Oh, Mel, our baby died. He is a slave to sin. At the funeral, the little child was in the casket, had his first pair of shoes on. Mel Trotter takes those little shoes, puts them in his pocket. Soon as the funeral is over, takes those little shoes to the pawn shop so he could get a drink. You'd think the remorse of killing his baby would have got... No! He's a slave to sin! And you know, sin is bigger than any one of us in this room. Sin is bigger than any one of us. But Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. It means he has power over sin. And not just a new life, but a powerful new life. That's what it says. But God, we thank you, were the servants of sin, but now you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which we have delivered to you. Being made free from sin, he became the servants of righteousness. You know what? This isn't talking about AA, where all your life you're just not drinking. That's not what this is talking about. He's talking about freedom from the power of sin and now the freedom to live right. Isn't that great? The freedom to live right. He said, you were the servant of sin, but now you've become the servant of righteousness. Wow, that is just amazing, isn't it? Just think of that power of the life in Jesus Christ. You know, I thought there's three great powers of the life of Jesus Christ. And that is, it breaks the thinking hold of sin. It breaks the thinking hold of sin. Boy, Mel Trotter, he couldn't get by that bar without, you know, being drawn, and his mind was captured. But you know, Jesus' resurrection from the dead breaks the thinking hold of sin. Breaks the thinking hold. All that wrong thinking. That thinking that somehow that sin offers you something. You know, that's the very root of sin. Just like Satan tempted Adam and Eve. He said, now you take this fruit and you'll be like God. What a lie. But he captured their mind. And sin captures people's mind. But you know what? Jesus delivers us. In his life, he delivers us from the thinking hold of sin. But secondly, he breaks us from the flesh craving hold of sin. The flesh craving hold. I gotta have it, I gotta have it, I gotta have it. And he replaces it with, I don't need it. I don't need that anymore. I don't need it anymore. But there's the third power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection is just like it says, the transformed life of a life that now wants to please God. You know what the world thinks? This is what the world thinks. The world thinks, man, those Christians, they got to do this, and they got to do that, and they got to do this. And they got to do that. But guess what? That's not Jesus Christ. I get to serve God. I get to live my life for Him. I get to hear the Word of God. I get to go to church and fellowship with the believers. I get to make my life count for God, etc., etc., etc. There is the transforming power of Jesus Christ. That transforming power is the power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that power is the power that a believer in Jesus Christ experiences in Jesus Christ. That's the real thing. That's the real thing. But fourthly, the resurrection frees us from the fear of death. Frees us from the fear of death. Why? Because we will never die. We'll never die. We'll never die. Frees us from the fear of death. You know, I always think about that. These insurance agents, they got it all figured out, don't they? They sell you life insurance. Did you ever figure that out? They sell you life insurance. Why don't they call it death insurance? You know what I mean? Because, you know, the benefit, you get the benefit when you die. But they call it life insurance. You know? All these great names, you know, they put on it. You know, trying to make, and you know, a funeral home, you know, they, right, Mike, you know, they tried to take all the death out of death as much as possible. They can't. But you know what? For a Christian, we don't die. We don't die. I mean, we die, but we don't. You know why? Because we got eternal life. You know, we need to think correctly. I remember Frank Bumpus, his pastor, old-time pastor in Chicago. He got a disease that he died from. And it's one of those kind of degenerative diseases that just kind of kills you slowly, you know. And so it was kind of a slow death, you know. And he was telling one of his friends, he says, you know, this is crazy. You know,
We spend whole life preaching about eternal life and going to heaven and about the glories of heaven. And then when we get this disease, we fight it with all our might to stay alive. This doesn't make sense.
You know, a lot of people are afraid of death. I heard the story. I tell you two stories about that help illustrate it. One's a new one, a recent one. Some of you heard it. But in Damascus, under ISIS, they're exterminating Christians by the droves. And crucifying them. Beheading them, just plain killing them. A Christian in Damascus, an Arab Christian, he called 10 of his buddies together, and he says, you know, this city is just getting very dangerous, and I'm not sure we should keep our families here. Maybe we should get out of here before we all die. And we need to decide what we're going to do. Either we're going to stay here and witness for Christ, or we better get out of here. One of the two. He says, let's pray about it. Next week, we'll pray about it for 1 week. And if God tells you to leave this place, you take your family. If you don't, you get out of here. Don't even bother. But if during that week, God tells you to stay and be a witness for Christ, we'll meet here next Saturday at 10 a.m. Well, next Saturday, the leader of this group, trying to get to that place where they agreed to meet secretly. I mean, the roads were all tore up, bombed, and he had to go all around to get there. He's about 20 minutes late. He's wondering, wonder if there's going to be anybody there. Wonders if there's any going to be any if they're going to be there. He got there, opens the door. There's not 10 men there. There's 25 men. The 10 men in that 1 week had led 15 other people to Christ. And those 25 people agreed that God had led them to stay in Damascus till death. And so they put their money together and they bought a plot of ground. And they said, that's going to be our cemetery. One man said, you know what? I'm free now. I'm not afraid to die. I've been delivered from the fear of death. I'm whatever it takes. I'm not afraid to witness. I'm not afraid to spread the gospel. I'm not afraid to tell anybody. I'm going to try to tell everybody I can about Jesus Christ and salvation. I'm not afraid to die. He said, when he made that decision, he said, oh, the glorious freedom he had in his life. The freedom to live. Now, you know, put it a different way. You heard this illustration too, but Georgi Vins was a Russian preacher. And the communists wanted him dead. But they just couldn't go out and shoot him because that would be kind of bad. Because he was known in America. And so they said, you know, we put him in a concentration camp in Siberia. We tried to freeze him. We tried to starve him. It didn't work. He's still alive. I know what we'll do. We'll put him in a prison cell with six other murderers, and we will tell all sorts of bad stories about him, and they'll kill him for us. And then we're free. So George Evans is in this, put in this cell with six murderers, and they look at him, you know, they look at him, eye him up, you know, and they said, "We don't know who you are, but we are going to kill you. You better not go to bed and sleep tonight because you will not make it through the night." This is a true story. So, George Vince, he gets on the cot in this small cell and he says, "Lord, I just, you know, Lord, if you, I'm just going to commit my life to you. You know, if I wake up and I'm in heaven, praise the Lord. You know, if I wake up and I'm still here, well, that's what you did. You kept him from killing me." So he wakes up the next morning, and lo and behold, he's not in heaven. He's in that jail cell. Whoa! And so he wakes up, you know, and the guy says, "I don't know about why, but I don't know why we didn't kill you last night, but we are going to kill you tonight. So you better not go to bed." And so about time to get to sleep, George Evans says, "Well, Lord, you know, I'm just going to commit my life to you. I'm tired, and you know, if I'm going to go to sleep, and if I wake up in heaven, fine. But if, you know, if you want, and I wake up in this jail cell, well, that's fine too." So he commits his life to the Lord. He sleeps like a baby all night. You know, wakes up in the morning, whoop, back in that jail cell. Huh. And the leader of the pack says, "I don't know who you are. I don't know why we didn't kill you last night. But I tell you what, it will happen tonight." And so George Evans commits his life to the Lord, says, "Lord, if I wake up in heaven, great. If I don't, well, wake up in this cell, that's fine." So he commits his life to the Lord, sleeps like a baby, wakes up in the morning, and oh, man, he's in the jail cell. And the leader of the pack says, "What is there about you? I don't know why we didn't kill you. Who are you?" He says, "I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ." He says, "Prove it." He says, "I got a Bible." "You got a Bible?" "Yeah." And he had a small gospel of Mark like that, hidden in his sole of his shoe. And the guy, the leader of the bunch, says, "Tonight, I want to read it." This murderer stayed up all night and read the Gospel of Mark. And that night, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. The next night, the next guy says, "I'm going to read that," this next murderer. And he read the Gospel of Mark all night. And that night he repented of his sin and he accepted Christ as his Savior. And within 2 weeks, all six of those murderers had repented of their sin and come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know why? Because they saw somebody who had eternal life. That's why. They saw someone who wasn't afraid to die. Because when you're a Christian, you don't really die. George Vins was free to serve God with his life. No wonder the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is said, good and acceptable, perfect will of God." You know what he's saying? He's saying that, you know, you got eternal life. You got eternal life. That body's going to raise from the dead. There's going to be a life forevermore. Your soul is a life forevermore. Commit your life to serve God. Yeah. Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. And those who know Jesus Christ, they participate in His death, which gives them victory over hell, and gives them victory over sin, and they participate in His life, which gives them power to live for Jesus Christ. You know what? That's the problem of our world, isn't it? I mean, we got problems. And Washington's not going to solve those problems. I don't care who gets elected. They are not going to solve the problems, because the problem is right in here. Amen? That's where the problem is. But Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's alive. He breaks the power of sin, and He gives a new life. Oh, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest thing in all the world. It's the greatest thing in all the world. It's, you know what? You can't describe it. You know, someone recently got saved and said, you know, my life is completely different. But I can't explain it. That's why it's so great. It's so great. It's real. It's real. It's great. It's real. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's one option. But the other option is the gift of God is eternal life. Wow, eternal life. A gift, free, because Jesus Christ paid for it and He rose again from the dead. He can offer it to you and I. You know, there's nothing greater than on this Easter Sunday to participate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ by turning to Jesus Christ to be your Savior and to be your Lord. You know, Jesus just didn't die to save us from hell. Jesus rose again to change our life. He rose again to change our life. You know, this Christianity that's just a fire escape from hell, that's not the gospel, folks. Because the gospel is that Jesus died and He was buried and He rose again. Amen? That's good news? That's good news. Do you want a new life in Jesus Christ? First of all, you have to participate in His death. Come as a sinner. Come admitting that you are a sinner on your way to an eternal hell. But Jesus Christ died for you and I. Come to Jesus who died for you. But also come to Him as one who rose from the grave, who gives new life, who breaks the power of canceled sin. We once were servants of sin, now we become servants of righteousness. What a great thing. What a transformation. Transformation of thinking. A transformation of the lusts of the flesh being put asunder and replace them with the wonderful life of service for Jesus Christ, a new life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, can't be described, can it? Can't be described. I wonder today, this great day, Jesus rose from the grave. You can know that in your own heart by receiving Him as your Savior, by trusting Him, receiving Him. And if you're a Christian today and you're defeated and your heart is dark, and your life is miserable, let me tell you what. Jesus is alive. He came to give you victory. He came to bring you a life that's above all of that. You need to turn to Him. Surrender your life to Him as a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You today that You rose from the grave. Lord, we thank You that, Lord, that through You, it is nothing for You to give us victory over all the wrong thinking that's all around us that even can capture our own mind. Lord, we marvel that it's nothing for You to replace those horrible lusts of the flesh with the desires of righteousness and of God and of right. And how You can make our life, Lord, a life that is pleasing to You and we enjoy serving You. Lord, what a wonderful thing it is that You're the living Savior. And Lord, in these days, help us not to be afraid to die. Help us, Lord, to be willing to serve You with our life. For eternity is forever and ever. And we best use our life, as short as it is, for something that counts. And so, Lord, work in our midst. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You know, the Lord is bigger than this sermon. God has been working in your life today. You recognize your need for Jesus. It's not a church. It's not good works. It's Jesus that you need. And He can give you a new life. He can break the power of sin in your life. He can give you a new life, eternal life. He's risen from the dead. He'll come to live within your life. It's just unexplainable. You say, Pastor, I need that new life. I may not even know who you are, really, but God knows who you are. And you say, Pastor, could you remember me in closing prayer? I not do it by your name or anything, but just generally say, I need Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me? I need to make that most important decision in my life. Anyone here today, wherever you might be, just lift up that hand. Maybe you're a Christian. You say, you know, I've been living a defeated life. But Jesus rose from the dead. I shouldn't be living a defeated life. I should be living a victorious life. And God is speaking to your heart today that that victory is available in Jesus Christ. Pastor, pray for me. I need to be living that victorious life because Jesus rose from the grave. Anyone here? Okay, praise God for that. Okay, amen. Others? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. God sees that hand. Amen. I need to be living the victorious life. Jesus rose from the grave. There's no power greater than that. He wants to live your life for you, in you, and through you. Lord, I thank You for speaking to hearts today. And thank You for the great truth that we don't have to just talk about it, but it's real that Jesus rose from the grave. That He's alive. He's the Savior. And that He's working. Lord, He is working. And we thank You that, Lord, the great truth for many of us, the day that Jesus Christ came to dwell within us through His Holy Spirit and the new life He gave us. May everyone here, Lord, come to that point. Lead them in that truth and lead them in victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.